was hoping to start off, we could talk a little bit about something that's near and dear to you, and that is the Texas Book Festival. Obviously, we're heading into the 15th anniversary, an event you launched and that gave you the foundation to help spearhead the National Book Festival. Tell me a little bit about how often you've been back to it and how much resemblance it has to the early days of the Texas Book Festival.
Well, the book festival, the Texas Book Festival, is so terrific. It's really, I think, one of the premier book festivals anywhere. It's different from a lot of other festivals because it's in the capital, actually in the Texas state capital and on the ground surrounding the capital. And I think people really love that. They love to be in the capital for 1 year. We use those committee hearing rooms for the for authors. This year, we're not going to be on the Senate and House floor, which we have been in previous years because they're undergoing some renovations. So we will have tents outside for authors, a lot like the National Book Festival does, where the authors are under tents on the mall. But we started the book festival 15 years ago with a focus on Texas writers. We thought we would mainly have Texas writers. Now, of course, we've had writers from around the world, including Alexander McCall Smith, the Scotsman who came and was one of our writers, I think maybe more than once. I have not been back that often since I moved to Washington. I was always very aware of the Texas Book Festival every year, of what was going on, and many of my friends serve on the both the advisory board as chairman of the advisory board, on the advisory board, and on the author selection committee, people that founded the book festival with me. So I'm always aware of it. I've done a few events for the Texas Book Festival. I recently did a fundraising event for them in Austin with my book tour earlier this summer when reading. It was really fun with a lot of friends and with one of our Texas Book Festival writers, Steve Harrigan, who's been a writer a couple of times with us and happens to live in Austin.
Wonderful. Now, obviously, you published your book over the summer, Spoken from the Heart, and you've been making the rounds, doing some publicity for it. Was it a welcome thing to sort of be back in the public eye, or was it a reminder of how much you like your new life now?
No, it was really fun. I mean, a book tour is very exciting and a lot of fun, and it was very successful. My book has sold really well, which I appreciated. But it also gave me a chance to see friends all over the country when I traveled. I think from May 4th, the day the book published, I went to 27 different cities until the end of the book festival. I did a lot of signings at bookstores, which I love doing, and I love being with booksellers. They all gave me their highest recommendations of new books that they were selling a lot of and that they'd read themselves and really enjoyed. So that was fun also to hear about a lot of great books from booksellers.
Wonderful.
But, I loved it. I loved the book festival. I mean, the book tour. It was really fun to travel again all over the country and visit bookstores mainly.
Great. When you were First Lady of Texas, we saw sort of the tip of the iceberg. We saw just the part that was visible to the public. Talk to me a little bit about what it was like to be First Lady in Texas, sort of the behind the scenes, life in the governor's mansion, watching everything that was going on next door in the Capitol.
One of the great things about that is because you do live right across the street from the Capitol, across from the from the governor's office, which is in the Capitol. And one of the things that George liked best about being governor was that you are in the Capitol with the House on one side of you and the Senate on the other. And I think that was one of the disappointments, really, about moving to Washington was I don't think either of us realized what a divide there is between the Capitol and Washington and the White House, which is a mile down the road. In the Capitol, Texas Capitol, George talked to senators and the House members every day that he was there at work, and I think it led to a more collegial atmosphere and opportunity. When George was elected, our lieutenant governor and speaker were both Democrats, but they ended up being great friends and a great opportunity to work together. But sadly, that was not the case in Washington with the big distance between the president and the executive offices and in the offices of the Senate and the House.
I mean, how was life different for you as First Lady of Texas versus being First Lady of the United States? What were things that were similar and what were things that were really different?
Well, I had a lot more anonymity, of course, in Texas. I wrote about that in my book. You know, I went for walks every day. I would walk out of the governor's house and walk all the way down to the town lake and walk around town lake. I did that a lot and could do that with friends without DPS officers. There was a lot more freedom to life then, although I was very active and traveled around our state a lot speaking. I did a lot of things that had to do with historical preservation. When George was governor, I convened a summit on early childhood education, and then legislation followed that. State legislation followed that. The first time ever the state actually contributed to Head Start, which was a federal program to make sure that children who were in Head Start classes in Texas were also learning pre-reading and pre-math skills. So when they started first grade, they really did have a head start. You know, it was easier to work on issues, I think, there just because of the smaller size of the state, even though Texas is a very large state and there are a lot of remote parts of the state. But I visited all of them. I know George went to every single county. I don't know if I went to every 250 counties, but but a lot of them. And we love our state. We, you know, we both grew up here. We have a very strong allegiance to Texas, and so it was especially fun to be the First Lady of Texas.
So you had a lot more anonymity even when you were First Lady of Texas. I mean, are there other things that compare? Was either of those two times sort of do you consider either a better time in your life?
What do you mean, when George was governor compared to president?
Exactly, yes.
No, I mean, of course, being First Lady of the United States is a huge, huge honor and privilege and opportunity, and I love that. I loved, even though I lost some anonymity, I still now have a private life in Texas. I mean, George and I go out to eat at restaurants. I'm getting ready to meet some friends for lunch right now at a restaurant here in Dallas. I shop. Shopping for our house. All our furniture is in our ranch house, and so I've been slowly furnishing our Dallas house, and that's been a lot of fun. Dallas is shopper's paradise.
I know. I used to live there. I worked for the Dallas Morning News for a while.
So
that's the one.
Yeah,
that
so with
down here.
The design center and everything, it's been really fun to buy from, you know, decorate our house, and I've loved that.
Do you feel like you have a lot more freedom right now, or do you still feel like your every move is you know, watched by security? I mean, what's your day-to-day life like now?
Well, I do, of course, still have Secret Service, and so does George. But, there's a lot more freedom. I mean, I don't have the responsibilities I had when George was president. I still travel a lot. I still give a lot of speeches. I just was at the National Book Festival as an author. I was at the UN for International Literacy Day because I'm still the honorary ambassador of the Decade of Literacy and the director general of UNESCO, the UN agency that has education as part of its charge, came from Paris to the UN for International Literacy Day. And so I still do a lot of things that are part of what my life was when George was president. But I don't have every responsibility that I had when I was First Lady.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that responsibility issue. I mean, you found yourself, you know, back in the headlines not too long ago for taking positions either, you know, on gay marriage or abortion that appeared to be at odds with your husband and with the GOP. You know, I mean, what do you say to the critics who argue you had a responsibility, you know, to come forward sooner or who suggest that, you know, you maybe hid those opinions from view?
Well, I didn't hide them from view. I mean, they were well known, but from the very first day George was elected, the Katie Couric question. But I'm not elected. I was not elected. George is. He's the one who was elected. I was not the elected official. It was not my responsibility. I didn't think to speak out in ways to get in some sort of debate with him. You know, I just didn't see that as part of my role.
I'm curious then to know, what do you think about the Tea Party tide? Have you been sort of watching this, and what do you think it means for the future of the GOP?
I don't know. You know, it's been interesting to watch from the sidelines, and that's what George and I are doing. We're not in politics anymore. We are still working on policy. I just left an education announcement at North Dallas High School here that is going to – a focus of the Bush Institute that's going to be part of the Bush Center at SMU was announced today, and this is a focus on how to develop educational leaders and principals. It's called the Alliance for Reform of Education Leaders. And that's what both George and I are going to focus the rest of our lives on, and that's policy that that we've been paying attention to since he was governor, and education is certainly one of them. And our very first fellow at the Bush Institute is an education fellow. He's a concurrent fellow with SMU. He's a professor at the School of Education. He just came from Vanderbilt. So those are the things that we'll continue to work on. And that's, you know, we're out of politics, so we don't really have to answer the politics sort of questions. But we are paying attention from the sideline, but working on policy instead.
Right. I am interested in the Bush Library. And I mean, you started to get into this, you know, how big of a role are you playing in the progress that's being made there?
Well, I'm playing a lot of you know, a large role. I've been the head of the design committee. Bob Stern is our architect, who's terrific, and Michael Van Valkenburg is the landscape architect. The building is going to be really beautiful. It's also going to be LEED Platinum, which is the highest LEED designation, and so we're both excited about that. The and also, as part of the Bush Institute, we have the Women's Initiative, which I'm the head of. The Bush Institute is focused on four areas, which are education, what my event was today, talking about education, global health, economic opportunity, and human freedom. And the Women's Initiative crosses all four of those focus areas. I hosted the U.S.-Afghan Women's Council here in March with a focus on literacy and education for girls and women in Afghanistan. And so I'll continue, George and I both will, for the rest of our lives, working on those policy issues that were most important to us when he was governor and when he was president.
Wonderful. I've heard that you've become friendly with Michelle Obama. I'm curious, you know, what you think of her and the role she's playing in the White House and whether you have a relationship with her at this point.
You know, I think there's sort of a club that everybody that was a first lady is a member of in some way. I know what she's going through now. I know what life is like to live there. You know, I knew that already from my mother-in-law and my friendship with Lady Bird Johnson, who I got to know when George and I lived in Austin. At the time, actually, that she opened the Wildflower Center, we hosted the gala luncheon on the night of the on the day of the opening of the Wildflower Center. And, you know, because of that, I think there's a friendship that develops between all the first ladies. But no, I don't talk to her that often. We were just together in Shanksville, but not very often.
Back to books. Tell me, I guess, first of all, tell me what you're reading right now.
Right now, I just picked up Bonhoeffer. George just finished it, the great, the biography of Bonhoeffer. I just started it last night. It's really good. The other two fiction books that I've read recently, and one of them, one author, Abraham Burgess, will be a Texas Book Festival author, is Cutting for Stone. That's his book.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
I enjoyed it a lot, and my girls are both reading it. Jenna just went to Ethiopia with CARE. And so we actually, when I was in New York last week for CGI, I met with the Ethiopian minister that was there at the Clinton Global Initiative. I met with him separately to talk about a partnership that the Bush Institute can have with Ethiopia and Dr. Mark Dybal, who's our fellow in global health. And Dr. Dybal, who was head of PEPFAR when George was president, is doing this research now and developing a way to be able to deliver health care to women at the only time, in many cases, that they seek health care in the developing world, and that's when they come in to have a baby. And so we were talking to the minister about that, but also Jenna and Barbara were with me, and Jenna had just met the Ethiopian minister when she was in Ethiopia with CARE. So Cutting for Stone is a great one. And then another one that I love is historical fiction about the Civil War called My Name is Mary Souter by Robin Olivier. And I hope she's coming to the Texas Book Festival, but I don't see her in my list of on the little list of authors that I have in front of me.
Yeah, good recommendation. And I have to know, did you read An American Wife? And if so, what did you think of it?
No, of course I didn't read that.
You really didn't? You weren't even curious?
I lived my life. I didn't need to read somebody's made-up version of it.
Tell me then, I guess, just to wrap up, but can you share with me some of your fondest memories from being in the Governor's Mansion here in Texas?
Well, let me just share some fond memories of the Texas Book Festival, really what the article is about.
Yep.
I remember on the very, very first one, I had worried for weeks about it, but worried about the weather, about anything that could go wrong, and so we convene at the first of the book festival in the Texas Senate on the Senate floor to give our award, the Texas Book Festival Award for Lifetime Achievement, and a jackhammer starts up right outside the window. The construction that, of course, we didn't know about was going on, and so we sent somebody out right away to ask if they would, you know, put it off until the Monday after the book festival, which they did. But then I just got a headache. I was so nervous that I went back across the street to the governor's house and got back into bed. And in a few minutes, two of my friends, one of whom has been the chairman of the advisory board, ran over to the governor's mansion, and they said, "Everything's going great. There are tons of people here. Everyone loves it, so come back over." So I did, and it was really terrific. Then another memory I have is of Kinky Friedman. We always had a reception at the governor's mansion on the Friday night before the Texas Book Festival gala, and then we had the author coffee in the morning before the book festival started. And Kinky had been at the reception the night before, and then he was there early in the morning for the coffee because we used to do local television from the governor's mansion to encourage people to come down to the book festival that day. George looks at Kinky, who's in exactly the same coat, the same hat, with the same cigar that he'd had the night before, and George thought he had just slept down there on one of the couches in the governor's house. And there were a lot of very funny and fun moments, and I hope I'm going to be able to talk about a few of them at the gala when I speak there.
Right.
And I just want to encourage people to come. It's always so much fun, and there's something for everyone there. There are great children's book writers. We have terrific cookbook writers. Amanda Hesser from the New York Times cookbook will be there, and Diana Kennedy, who's a really wonderful expert on Mexican food, and she'll be one of our cookbook writers, so I hope everybody will show up.
Any thoughts on the governor's race? I know you said you all are staying out of this stuff, but I have to ask.
Sure, of course, absolutely. We're supporting Governor Perry.